going to ask Matthew if he'll stand up here with me. Matthew, come stand with me. This is a little rascal. But we love him. And he's moving on to the sixth grade, and he just wanted to be able to walk in with the other graduates, because that's what it is. You need to smile. Because he's graduating from the fifth grade to the sixth grade, and we're proud of him. And I want his mom and dad to stand. Let's give them a round of applause. Love you, buddy. You can sit. Give me five. Crystal? Here's a lady that's been a rascal in her time. But she's been busy. And you know she's been busy. She's been getting her education and then getting her education. And she served the Lord in a wonderful and marvelous way down at Mount Olive College. I don't think there's anybody down there that doesn't know Miss Crystal Guy. And we're proud of her and we love her. And I want her whole family that's present with us today to stand, and let's give them a round of applause. Crystal, we love you. God bless you. Miss Caitlin? This is Caitlin Howe. Now, Caitlin, many of you know Caitlin very well, but you remember her probably when she was slightly shorter. And she's been a rascal in her day, too. But bless her heart, she's graduated, and you graduated from?
Harnett Central.
And she intends to, well, right now she's continuing to pursue her education online, and then she intends to move those credits to Meredith College, where she wants to pursue a teacher's degree. And we're proud of her, and we love her, and we appreciate so much her being with us this morning. And we're going to ask her family as well if they'll stand. Amen. Let me read something in here. Education. It says, this Holy Bible is presented to Caitlin Howe by Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church on the occasion of graduation this 13th day of June, 2010. And Caitlin, I've written in here, congratulations, Caitlin. Our prayer for you is that you always remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. God bless you, Pastor Jim, and the congregation of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church. We love you, girl.
Thank you.
God bless you. Dean Hardy. I've never thought you were a rascal. But your brothers. They do. They think you are a rascal. Dean has graduated from Knightdale High School. And Dean's going on to not to UNC, but NC State. Yeah, I'll watch my step. And he's going to be pursuing a degree in engineering?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to ask his family if they'll stand. And I see a number of folks. Yes, amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Likewise, Dean, the congregation of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church presents you with this copy of God's Word. And we know that you know it. We know that Caitlin knows it. We know that Matthew knows it. And we certainly know that Crystal knows it. But we just want to make sure that on your way, you hold on to this piece, this Holy Scriptures. Amen?
Yes,
God bless you, buddy.
You.
Love you.
Love you.
It's tough. This morning I've chosen Ecclesiastes chapter 1 as the message for this morning and for our graduates. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and then we will move to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and read a few verses from there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The book of Ecclesiastes is another book of the Bible that is not without controversy. There are those that believe that the book is too depressing, that the book is too negative, and that the book is too discouraging for the people of God. After all, God is the great creator of all things. He's the great King of kings and the Lord of lords. And all that He has created has been for the very purpose of bringing Him pleasure, and in turn designed to be a blessing to His people as well. And so obviously, if a book of the Bible, God's Word, says that all is vanity and vexation of spirit, certainly a superficial look at the book would call to question whether this book was inspired by God or not. And this morning, I want us just to read through, or just to look through the first chapter here for a moment, and then for the benefit of our young graduates who are about to step out into the world to make their way in it, we're going to move to the last chapter, chapter 12, which will help us all to understand a little better why it is believed that this book is certainly inspired of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the fellowship of other Christians, Father, for each one that's come this way this morning, Lord, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for their presence. We thank You for our graduates, Lord, and the work that they've done, Father, to be able to come to this point in their lives. And then, too, Father, as they step out from this point and they move on into a life, Lord, we pray that they'll never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, and that He desires to walk day by day with them, and that without Him, everything else that they do in this world is going to end up vanity and vexation of spirit. Father, we know that You've given to us the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that encourages us and strengthens us, Father, as in this world of woes, Father, and disappointments, Lord, the Holy Spirit lifts us up and carries us through, Father, because we're reminded of that wonderful promise of a homecoming someday, by and by. And we look forward to that, Father, and I pray that as our graduates move out into the world, Lord, that they'll move out in the world following the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless Your Word. Bless Your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Who would that preacher be? Anybody know who that preacher would be? Solomon. That's right. Solomon. Solomon. Solomon says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Vanity means emptiness, pointlessness, uselessness, worthlessness, futility. And he's talking about life. Solomon is talking about life, and Solomon had it all. There's no other man under heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ that's had it all save Solomon, and all that he's had was all of material things under the sun, and they worked for him of no benefit. He says in verse 3, "What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." Sounds pretty hopeless to me. How about you? Sounds like Solomon is just has just completely given up. And I tell you, he has given up in trying to pursue his dreams by accumulating things in this world. Verse 5 says, "The sun also arises, and the sun goeth down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." I want to share a little note here with you. This very verse, listen to this. American pilot Wiley Post, the first man to fly around the world solo in 1933, is often given some credit for discovery of jet streams. You know what the jet stream is? You know what the jet stream is? They talk about it all the time. You see it on the weather patterns. You see it swooping down, and then you see it whipping up, and it's a circuit. It's a jet stream. But Wiley Post invented a pressurized suit that let him fly above 20,000 feet. And in the year before his death, Wiley Post made several attempts at a high-altitude transcontinental flight and noticed that at times his ground speed greatly exceeded his airspeed. And why was that? Because for some reason, up there, something was carrying him along a little faster than he expected. And so Wiley Post is credited with one of the individuals of discovering the fact that there's a jet stream up there. And yet Solomon knew that all along, didn't he? Where did he get that wisdom? Where did he get that understanding? On August the 15th, 1935, Wiley Post and American humorist Will Rogers were killed when Post's aircraft crashed on takeoff from a lake in Alaska. But the question we asked this morning is, how did Solomon know about the jet streams? How did he know about wind circuits? Well, I'll tell you, the only way he could have known that is God gave him that information. God provided him with all of that information. Verse 7 says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it might be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Let me share this with you. Here is another interesting point. While there have been many new inventions over the life of man's existence upon the earth, nature remains the same. The sinful character of man remains the same. The struggle to put food on the table remains the same struggle for us today. And so man, over time, has been something like a cog in the great wheel of life. What he will experience in his generation, another will experience likewise in their generation. Man under the sun is going to experience nothing new in his search for happiness and contentment in this world. But let me share this with you. It wasn't until the mid-19th century that man began to move away from animal power to engine power. With the invention of the steam engine, man, over a very short period of time, went from horse power, mule power, beast of burden power, to trains and automobiles and air travel, even to walking on the moon. And now we are investigating space with new probes. Why is it important to investigate space with new probes? Well, let me tell you, the earth is filling up and we're looking for someplace else to go. We're looking for the possibilities of someplace else to go, which means that Christ is coming soon. Because Daniel prophesied that in the latter times, knowledge would be increased. Just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be a great increase in knowledge. Listen to what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. What book is that? That's the book of life, my friends. That's the book of life. Everyone will be delivered from the destruction of this world as God comes to bring His wrath upon the face of this earth. Every person whose name is written in the book will be delivered from that destruction. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, listen to what God says, the angel says to Daniel. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the end of the time, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Just before the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowledge is going to take on a tremendous increase for humanity. And certainly that has happened even since the mid-19th century, the mid-1800s. We may have increased our knowledge over these years, but man's search for peace and happiness of heart and soul remains a constant battle, a constant struggle without the inner peace provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. You may think you've got it made in this world. You may have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever, but I can tell you this, you're not enjoying the peace that God can give you, that God can bring about for you. Verse 11, Solomon says, "There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." I often hear presidents talking about, or people who advise presidents talking about how the history is going to record their presidency. Well, you know, I don't know. How did history record the presidency of many of our previous presidents? If I ask you right now, you wouldn't be able to tell me. You'd have to go look it up in a book, and you'd have to go research it, and then you'd have some knowledge about it. But for the most part, presidents that have gone before, we don't have a great deal of immediate knowledge about them. So there's no remembrance of former things. If we're striving to try to make a mark in history, people are not going to remember that. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Man in his own mind, even in the minds of a great many witnesses, may accomplish daring feats. But a generation or two down the road of life, his accomplishments are soon forgotten and overshadowed by some other great event. And that's true. And you know that's true. So in verse 12, the preacher says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. How many of you here this morning are happy in your work? I don't want to see a show of hands. You don't have to raise your hands. I just want you to think about that. How many of you are happy in your work, where you work? How many are happy where you're at? Where you're at? Maybe you're not in the occupation God wants you to be. Or maybe you're right where God wants you to be, but you're without Him. Because God can make you happy right where you are. I had 16 years in the Marine Corps when I began to feel the tug of God's hand on my heart to the ministry. But there were other things that I wanted to do. And so God permitted me the opportunity to do everything I thought I was suited for. And though I enjoyed all of those privileges, my heart was not content. I finally came to the point where I answered God's call, and I'm happy and content knowing that I'm doing what God wants me to do. Certainly ministry has its ups and downs, but every avenue of life has the same. Solomon says, "I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven, and this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." Caitlin and Dean may have solid plans in mind for their future, but they may discover that their plan really wasn't all they'd hoped it would be, and find themselves at a fork in the road of life. And this will be one of those times of sore travail as they try to figure out which way they need to go. But let me tell you something. If you'll just trust the Lord, if you'll just trust the Lord and lean on Him and wait on Him, He'll guide you in the right direction. He will guide you in the right direction, and it'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise to you. Solomon goes on to say in verse 14, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is what? Vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." Now listen, Solomon is talking about man's work under the sun. Man working day in and day out, striving day in and day out to get ahead in this world, will never find fulfillment and satisfaction and peace and contentment without knowing his Creator and allowing his Creator to be a part of his or her every day. Your daily life. God wants to be a part of your daily life. Now turn with me, if you will, to chapter 12. Without the Lord in your life, you're never going to find peace and contentment of soul and heart. You may have temporary peace. You may have temporary comfort and be content for a short period of time. But eventually, the old heart's going to be lusting for something else. Something else to fill in that gap, that emptiness that's in the heart. And that emptiness needs to be filled up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That emptiness needs to be filled up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ didn't come into this world and die on Calvary's cross and then go back to heaven and leave nothing behind for you and me to sustain us as we wait upon His coming. He left behind the Holy Spirit. And He gave you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is excited about filling up that empty hole in your life. Solomon says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. "While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." There's coming a day, listen, every day, we're getting older and older. Did you know medical science suggests that up until about the age of 33, or between 33 and 35, the body, for the most part, is progressing. But after that period of time, we start working diligently, trying to keep our body moving along. We start exercising, we start running, because our body is beginning to digress instead of progress. And by the way, that's the way it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Christ went to Calvary's cross at the very day, at the very right time. He was 33 years old. If Christ had been 35 years old, there wouldn't have been a gray hair in His head. If He had been 80 years old, there wouldn't have been a gray hair in His head. If it had been 150 years old, there wouldn't have been a gray hair in the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was perfect. And He went to Calvary's cross at the right time, at the age of 33. And that, I believe, was the age that the body age of Adam, when he sinned and when he fell out of the garden and was cast out of the Garden of Eden. The Lord Jesus Christ picked us up from that point. He died on Calvary's cross at the right time. Now listen, Solomon is talking about man's work under the sun. Under the sun. When your work in life is just beginning, when you're just starting out on the road of life, Solomon says the best thing you can do, young people, is to remember that God, your Creator, has an interest in everything you do, and He wants to be a part of your life. Solomon says to the young person, if you really want to enjoy life to the fullest, if you really want to find pleasure in life, seek God early and let God fill your heart and soul with joy and happiness and with purpose. The pulpit commentary puts it this way: set God always before your eyes from your earliest days. Think who made you and what you were made for, not for self-pleasing only, not to gratify your passions which now are strong, but that you might use your powers and energy in accordance with God's pleasure and not simply your own pleasure. Some of the most miserable people in the world are those striving to accumulate things, trying to buy happiness in a world that is every day ticking down to a date in history when our Creator will come forth in judgment. God has a plan for every man, woman, and child that comes into this world. Some are called for great things, others for what may seem less important work. But if we seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, He will be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path to lead us to a work that satisfies the heart and satisfies the soul as well. J. Vernon McGee writes that in view of the fact that nothing under the sun can satisfy the human heart, Solomon says we need to get back to God. So to our young graduates this morning, I say, if you really want to find peace and happiness and contentment and joy and really true purpose in your life and even good health, it must be a life shared with our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of life. Solomon says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." What are those evil days to come? They're the days of aging. They're the days of growing old and being unable to enjoy life the way that God intended for us to enjoy life. And listen, God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy life. Listen, Psalm 118:24 says this, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll what? Rejoice and be glad in it." In John 10:10, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." God wants you to enjoy abundant life. Alcohol and drugs are designed to affect the body and the mind. They may satisfy the flesh for a moment in time, but they do precious little to satisfy the soul. Likewise, every evil work, activities of wickedness and immorality might endear you to a friend or a lover. But in the end, the heart will be broken and the spirit depressed and the soul empty. And this is what Solomon's talking about. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity when done outside the knowledge and the countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may look like a great deal. It may glitter like gold, but the devil is behind every evil work, and he longs to destroy you. Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And so depending on how we live our lives, sooner or later, our bodies and our faculties are going to start failing us. And our service to Christ will then be greatly curtailed. Verses 2 through 12, Solomon begins to describe the process of aging. And in verse 12, the fact that many will write books about how to rise above or get beyond this situation in life or that situation in life, yet the reading and the studying of such are a weariness of the flesh. How many books are written today? Boy, if you just want to get, you know, you're at a wall and you can't, in your life, you've come up against a wall and you go and check out every book in the world that helps, that's going to help design to get you over that wall. And yet there is one book that your designer gave you that can help you get over that wall. But finally, Solomon brings us to the conclusion. Verse 13 chapter 12. Verse 13. Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." God's commandments of old were designed to check the flesh, bring law and order to the nation of Israel. They were designed to teach love for God and love for one another. And when the leadership of the Israelites honored God and His commandments, there was peace and contentment reigning throughout the nation. Today, by way of the presence of the Holy Spirit, God has given us two simple commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us two simple commandments, and those commandments are what? To love the Lord and to love one another. When we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, we will naturally have peace with God, peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will truly enjoy peace of mind and peace of heart. For God shall bring, verse 14, Solomon says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so every life is a life created by God. And a life can find pleasure for a season in the world, or it can find eternal happiness with God beginning right now. It all depends on the decision one is willing to make. In Psalm, the psalmist writes in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It has been written, "When as a child I laughed and wept, and time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, and time walked. When I became a full grown man, time ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on that all my time is what? Gone. Gone. When will all of our time be gone? When will all of your time be gone? You don't know that. You don't know that. We have no idea. But there's one thing that we can do. We can certainly covet with the Lord to serve Him with whatever time we have left. Solomon says, you know, Young people, if you start out with the Lord, your life is going to be full. Oh, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have tribulation and all of that. But God's going to bring you through every burden. But when you don't start out with the Lord and you try to make it on your own, you're never going to have peace of mind. You're never going to have peace of heart. You're always going to be searching for that thing to fill that emptiness that's inside. And the emptiness that's inside is the lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that can come by only one way, and that's receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple. That's simple, and that's how it needs to be with us. That's how it needs to be with the human heart, because we're simple people. We're simple people. Well, there's some of us think we're a little smarter than the rest of us, but maybe, but you know, if they go and look in the mirror and they take an honest evaluation, they're going to find that they're miserably short when it comes to true knowledge and understanding. God needed to make it simple for us, and he made it simple for us. If we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you do that? Can you do that? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Is it a head knowledge or is it a heart knowledge? Because I can tell you this, the devil has head knowledge, but he doesn't have any heart knowledge. And what we need to do is decide that we're going to take the head knowledge and plant it right down here where it belongs. Because here's where the change takes place. Here's where the change begins. People talk about we need to change the world. Well, I tell you what, it needs to begin, rightly so, with you. With you and with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your